Irish person, and in such an unusual location.
Discussing bad health, adventure and shame.
I'm actually going bright red already just thinking about it.
The new series of Between Ourselves with Marion Keyes.
Everything can be an adventure.
Starts tomorrow night at 6:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Linda tries a new tactic when we head off to the Arches at 7 o'clock. But now on Radio 4, Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar.
So, I said to Lulu, you may have the Glasgow kiss, but we have the Punjabi futtar.
A what now?
A big fat slap. You see, futtar, the word sounds like what it is.
Onomatopoeia.
No thanks, I've just been.
No, Ummi, I meant...
Gotcha, it was a joke. Come on, slap my hand, Maya. Slap it. Slap it.
Okay, look, I'm beginning to get the whole Punjabi joke vibe. So there's aggressive high-fiving.
No thanks, I've just been.
Endless repetition of the punchline.
Your face, your big stupid face.
And unashamed gloating. I like it.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Too much laughing. Now I really do need the toilet. Quick, open the door. Hurry up!
I can't. Something in the way.
Just a minute.
Okay, all clear. Enter. Airappa.
Oh, my days. Where have all these boxes come from?
Oops, yes. I think I may be blocking a fire exit. You're blocking the oxygen supply in most of Wembley, Geeta.
What's in here? Tins of bird's nest drink.
Chocolate-covered crickets, duck tongues, all-day breakfast in a can. Very excitingly, the Sidhus from Sidhu Stores are sponsoring our show this week. So they have paid for the hall and also kindly donated... All the out-of-date weird crap no one else wanted. Some fabulous items, which we could raffle off and raise more funds for the silver bats. Right. And who's going to bid for... Fish mouths in brine, jawbones included. Half the bats are vegetarian and the other half don't have any teeth.
But we've got to clear this room before our guests arrive.
Oh, Maggie, Adairin Pocock and Beverly Knight are such down-to-earth nice ladies. They won't mind. And if they do, we can shut them up with a bacon-flavoured mint.
Great. Maggie's just pulling into the car park. Now, if one of you could move these boxes... Or just keep staring at me until I'm forced to do it myself. Yep, and there we are.
Wow, she lasted 5 seconds. I need to brush up on my death stare. There's just one little thing, Ummi. I promised Mrs. Sidhu we would thank them on air with a tinsy mention. Oh, no, we're not allowed to advertise, you know that. Of course. Anyway, it's not an advert. Good. It's a jingle.
Huh?
Which Mrs. Sidhu is singing, accompanied on the recorder and maracas by her grandchildren. Though Mr. Sidhu will start taking the chairs away. But no, he can't come in here. This is a female-only space. And don't you dare tell me Mr. Sidhu is self-identifying as a woman, not in that Durban. Honestly, Geeta, you really don't give a... Fortunately, a lovely guest has arrived. Hello, Maggie.
Oh, hello.
Oh, darling, welcome, welcome. How was your journey?
Oh, fine. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for coming. Oh, you're so magnificent in the flesh. People often say that about me. We have so much in common. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Geeta Bhandari, MBE. Wonderful to meet you. Are you hungry? Would you like a sandwich? It's a sandwich in a can.
I'll try it, yes, thank you.
You're very brave. Anyway, see you in a minute, darling.
Thank you.
Bye. Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar. Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar. And Geeta. Now, ladies, our next goddess has literally reached for the stars and conquered them. She's a renowned space scientist and science educator. She's built telescopes, presented the iconic The Sky at Night, has an MBE, and she quite frankly rocks. Please welcome the brilliant Maggie Ebunaluwa Adairin Pocock. Oh, Maggie, we are super thrilled to have you because we are genetically programmed to love anyone who is a doctor and so brilliant at science.
So listen, what does
Ebunuola mean? It's so pretty. It sounds like a song.
Ebunuola actually means gift from God. Oh. But I don't know if my parents felt that way. I'm not sure.
Oh, how lovely. Oh. My darling son's name means something similar in Punjabi.
Yes, God's gift, which is what most spoiled sons think they are. But I digress, Maggie. Now, please tell us, where did your obsession with all things space begin?
For me, it began when I was quite small. Mm. I was born in 1968, mm. and in 1969, the Apollo 11 moon landings occurred. I was taking my first wobbly steps as Neil Armstrong was taking his giant leap.
Oh, no.
I got the space bug sort of then and there, because I was growing up with sort of the excitement of the moon landings. And then I started watching a television programme called The Clangers.
Oh, The Clangers, yes. Clangers, what is this Clangers you loved so much?
Yeah, so they're these little knitted pink creatures that live on a planet in space, far, far away.
What? And they made a noise like this, didn't they? Rather like my late husband when he was feeling frisky. I mean, that doesn't get anyone in the mood, does it, darling Maggie? Now, your parents came from Nigeria and settled in North London, is that right?
That's correct, yes. Mm.
So, did you spend a lot of time staring at the sky? And could you actually see anything with all the light pollution?
Yes, actually, we used to have a sort of a small flat in Hampstead. Yeah. And I used to climb up to the top of the stairs. On a clear night, you could just see a few stars twinkling through. And there's always the moon. I'm a lunatic, self-certified lunatic. So that always captured my imagination.
Oh, I have such a lovely picture. Little girl, you on the roof, staring up at the sky.
But darling, you've said that you felt you didn't fit in anywhere when you were growing up. I can't believe it, because you are so confident and so strong. So why was that?
I think it was during the 1970s when I was going to school. I wouldn't say I was British, because if I did, people say, oh, you're black, you can't be British. But then I'd go home and I'd speak to my relatives and they'll say, oh, you don't speak the language, you're a lost Nigerian. So I didn't seem to fit in anywhere. Mm. But that's the lovely thing about space. Space, you don't see those barriers.
You know, darling, we all know that feeling. And I've read that you were diagnosed very late with dyslexia.
I don't think I've ever actually been formally diagnosed. I've done a few online tests. But I went through school and through university without being diagnosed. And sometimes I'd criticise myself, because when you know you have a condition, then you can understand some of your strengths and some of your weaknesses. But I didn't understand the weaknesses at all. But it's funny, I used to say I suffer from dyslexia, but now I can see some of the benefits of it. Mm-mm-mm. And also, I think when I was quite young, they just assumed I was a bit dumb. Sort of black kid, put in the remedial class because, she's just not very bright.
Hi. This happened to my son as well, all because of his arse.
His what?
He couldn't pronounce his arse.
So
they decided he was stupid and made him cut out pictures from catalogues with safe scissors,
Yes. Safety scissors and glue. Exactly the same. That's why I was at the back of the class, just like that.
Mm. Hi, Maggie. I'm getting so angry hearing about this racial profiling in education. Didn't it happen again when you went to see the careers officer at school?
Yes, unfortunately. I went to see the careers officer and I was saying that, I'm into space. I love everything out there. I'd love to be a space scientist. Ultimately an astronaut. And they said, Maggie, with your grades, perhaps you should be reaching so high. Why don't you go into nursing? And lots of black women go into nursing, and it's scientific. And nursing is a fantastic job, but that's just not where my heart was. So a bit disappointing.
Well, that was one careers officer who was ironically in the wrong job. Now, of course, we all know that you do have a brain the size of a planet. You went on to do physics at Imperial College and a PhD in mechanical engineering.
You're so very good at making things. And didn't you build your own telescope when you were just a teenager?
Yes, I did. I saw in sort of the evening classes, in Camden, telescope making class. Oh. And so I went to effectively to the community centre, just like this one, and was able to sort of make a telescope. But it was very funny, because the first day I walked in, I think I was sort of, 12, 13, and it was full of white men of 50.
No, darling, the nursing course is two doors down.
Oh, but see, they weren't like that, because I think they felt there was a kindred spirit and that we had something in common, and so we sort of all worked together.
And how wonderful, because didn't you also build the Gemini telescope in Chile?
Yeah, but not on my own.
I bet you did.
And it sits in the foothills of the Andes, so sometimes you're actually up above the clouds. And when it gets dark, the sky goes up sort of a beautiful purple colour, and you see the stars start to appear.
And haven't you designed motors and electronic software as well?
Oh, yes.
Gita, stop it. okay? Mm-hmm. Maggie is not going to fix our fridge or have a look at the boiler, okay? She's here to share her inspirational story, not to fanny about with a spanner.
Okay. But you could fix a fridge if you had to, Hannah Maggie?
Maybe on a good day, with lots of YouTube help.
Oh, please, God, someone ask a halfway intelligent question.
Maggie, do you think there's life out there?
I would say for aliens, definitely.
Ah.
Because to me, it's a numbers game. Our galaxy contains 300 billion stars. And what we're detecting now is what we call exoplanets, planets going around those stars. Mm. And as we look at them, sometimes we find sort of water or water vapour, the signs of life. That's just our galaxy. But if you look in the whole of the universe, there are about 200 billion galaxies.
Mm.
So I think it would be very conceited to think there's just life here. Yes. I think it's definitely out there. And I'd love to meet it.
No, I don't like the idea of being observed. You know, imagine little green men watching me take a shower.
I can't. Or maybe that's why they've never come to visit.
Maggie, I read you've been working on some truly space-age solutions to tackle climate change.
Yes. For instance, I was working on a project a little while ago where it was looking at how effectively plants photosynthesize. And so by monitoring how plants photosynthesize and how sort of crops grow, you can actually give feedback to people on Earth to say, okay, perhaps you need to add a little bit more of this chemical or that chemical, so we can actually make the Earth more abundant in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from space we can do lots of observations and actually help the planet be more efficient.
Goodness for you, because I suffer terribly from climate change issues.
She means she's going through a second menopause.
Oh.
She changes cardigans on the hour.
It's bloody exhausting.
And quite boring for everybody else. You know, my cousin's son is a nuclear physicist, and sometimes security at his work would assume he was an Uber driver. I mean, didn't help that he chewed gum and smelt of car air freshener. But still, have you encountered unconscious bias like that?
Yes, a few times. Mm. I went to the offices of a contractor, and I was fairly new out of university, and I was wearing a sort of suit and carrying my briefcase and feeling quite pleased with myself. And someone said, look, here are the keys. Start cleaning the offices at the back, please. Thing is, there's nothing wrong with being a cleaner, but it's the assumption that's the challenge. Mm. And also working out how do you respond to that.
Yes, and how did you respond? Did you hit him on the head with the briefcase? Or
with the briefcase.
Were you more polite?
It was there and it was handy.
Well, I can see the Silverbatch ladies are panting to ask you a question, Maggie. So, wait, Rena, wait. Let Maya get the microphone to you.
Dr. Maggie, like you, I'm dyslexic but love sweets. Any advice?
No, Rena, you're mixing up dyslexic and diabetic.
Maggie, I know. You have a lovely daughter.
Aww.
Does she love space and science as much as you?
She has it a lot at home, but she's more into art. And a few years ago, I said, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said she wants to be a space artist. Because then I'll do the science and she'll do the art and we can travel through the universe together.
Oh. Maggie, when you were presenting at the Royal Institution Conference, you had to do the whole thing with your baby in your arms.
I didn't have to, but I loved to.
Oh, wow.
And actually, I was just so lucky because she was so well behaved.
Yeah.
The only problem was she had this thing about the foam that goes on microphones.
Mm.
And so I'd be sitting there talking, it's quite seriously, and she'd be sort of grabbing the foams from the microphone
and trying to eat them.
Oh, I remember a girl in particular, I gave a talk with my daughter in my arms and she came up and said, I've just had a baby and I thought my life was over, I wouldn't be able to do anything. But seeing you on the stage with your daughter means that the possibilities are endless.
Very inspiring.
And we were both crying after that. We had to blubbed. But
yeah.
That's a wonderful story. I mean, the juggling we have to go through, no?
Yes.
Same old story for working mums. Honestly, we can fly to Mars, but we still haven't figured out that one, have
we? I found it quite easy balancing both.
Yes, because you've never worked and sent your son to boarding school as soon as he was potty trained. But Maggie, we have to ask, and I'm sure we all know the answer already. Would you like to go into space?
Yes. Right from the get-go, I wanted to get out there, see the Earth like Yuri Gagarin did, and then travel out to the moon and walk next to the footsteps of Neil Armstrong, and then go out to meet the clangers.
Oh, Maggie, I could listen to you forever, but sadly it's time to wrap up.
Sorry, Maggie, before you go, would you mind just reading out this card?
Oh, yes. Today's Gossip and Goddesses is brought to you by Sidhu's Convenience Stores. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Except Tuesdays.
Geeta, I told you.
Take it away, Rupinder.
Everything you want, except Tuesdays. Whenever you want it, except Tuesdays.
Into superstores, all your shopping needs. Just don't bother turning up on Tuesday.
Oh dear, I bet you thought you'd seen it all, and now you have, Dr. Maggie. I wish I could make you Prime Minister, but instead I will just say, what an honour having you here. Give it up for the stupendous Maggie Aderin-Pocock! Oh, I can't believe you embarrassed Maggie like that.
I can't believe you're making such a fuss over one little song.
Okay, can we calm this down a bit?
But that's you, isn't it, Geeta? It's all about the money.
Ha ha, you've always been jealous of me and my money just because I married up.
Up? Your Sunil is 5'2" and half of that is his hair.
Stop it, both of you. What if Beverly Knight hears you? What kind of advert is this for our show about sisterhood?
Hopefully one that doesn't have Mrs. Sidhu's grandson in it on a bloody recorder.
Hiya, sorry, am I in the right place for the chat show?
Oh, Beverly, darling, yes, of course. Come in, oh, we're so thrilled you're here. You're on with Maggie Aderin-Pocock. She's amazing, do you know her?
I know who she is, but I don't know her personally, so...
You're going to love her.
Oh, fabulous.
Hello.
Hello.
Geeta Bhandari, co-host and MBE.
Oh, no,
don't climb over the boxes, darling. We will come to you.
Yes, okay.
We'll just come.
Okay.
My heart, I can't feel my legs.
Oh, don't worry about them, Beverly. They're doing that old help me, I'm dying auntie thing. They're fine.
Oh, okay.
Look, come with me and I'll mic you up.
Rude.
Quite offended, actually.
Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar. Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar.
And Geeta.
So, ladies, our next guest is a musically gifted goddess. Called Britain's greatest soul singer, she's released 8 acclaimed albums, has a shelf full of awards, including 3 Mobos, is a star of radio, TV and stage, and has a smile that could light up Wembley Stadium. Please welcome the Wonder Woman from Wolverhampton, Beverly Knight! Oh, Beverly. All right, cock.
Me.
No, it's a Wolverhampton greeting, you dozy dodo. Oh. Isn't it, Bev?
It is, yes.
Along
it
with is. Chick, wench and tarara bit. Am I right, Bev?
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
You are. Yes.
I'm not sure where Wolverhampton is. I rarely venture past Gerrard's Cross, but what was it like growing up there, darling?
I had a good and warm experience at home in Wolverhampton, a very multi-ethnic, very multicultural place. So I grew up with a bunch of kids who were all from different backgrounds, you know, and we all kind of just mucked in together.
Now, you've said your parents were quite strict. Was that Asian strict, guilt-tripping and throwing shoes, or is Jamaican strict different?
There was a little bit of the guilt thing. You had to think of your people when you go to school, you can't let yourself down.
Look how much we've sacrificed.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when you go out there, you're not just representing yourself, you're representing the entire community. So, you know, you've got to be decent, you've got to work hard and everything. And it was, yes, Mom, yes, Dad. I think that's true of most immigrant kids.
Oh, very cool.
I'm thinking that... You had the gift and joy of music when you were growing up, didn't you?
Got to be honest, it's passed through the generations. It wasn't just me. My dad had a very loud, powerful voice. Everybody called him the singing builder, Eddie the singing builder. And my mum, a kind of sweet, melodic voice.
But weren't you writing songs at 13 or something ridiculous?
I just loved music and I wanted to express what I was feeling and going through, but in my own words, you know. They were all rubbish. I mean, they were just terrible songs, but, you know, at least I was giving it a go. Oh,
and, exactly. Of course, you sung in the church choir, and so gospel was a very big influence, wasn't it?
It was indeed. When I think of those days now, you know, I really smile. You know, the camaraderie of being in the choir, and then I was this little Bev with my little glasses on, you know, archetypal nerdy looking child, always to the front, singing my absolute heart out. So I'm grateful to having that kind of a background.
And also, just like Maggie was saying about space, in music, there's only joy, there's no barriers.
Yeah. It's so universal. Yes. It's universal. You know what I'm saying, Maggie. Those sounds, you know, and what it does to the human psyche and how it lifts you up.
Yes.
You know, I'll sing to my last breath.
Well, thank goodness. Oh, actually, you did a wonderful radio series about gospel music, didn't you? I remember that.
I did.
I love gospel music. Aretha.
Oh.
Sam Cooke, I love.
Of course.
Barry Manilow, I love him. Val Dunica.
No. Don't try and join in with this, because you're just embarrassing yourself. Oh. So there you are, Bev. I'm so sorry about her, with this God-given voice. So how did you break into the music industry? Because it is so competitive and ruthless, isn't it? Especially for women.
Yeah, it's not an easy game for women. But I knew I was a singer who wrote songs, and I would, you know, get my own way, be very firm but very polite with a big smile, and basically just disarm people into
iron fist in a velvet glove.
Absolutely.
I was going to ask, how often have you been called an angry black woman or been mistaken for Floella Benjamin?
Oh my
gosh. Both of you, that is. You're both laughing.
I'm laughing because I'm one of the few women who has been able to negotiate my way through my adulthood without having that angry black woman trope thrown in my direction. Certainly not on a scale that I've seen it with other black women. But what I have had constantly is being mistaken for every single black female who has a name. The height doesn't matter, the tone of shade of black doesn't matter, the fact that they don't even sing doesn't matter. I must be them and they
Moira
must be
Moira Stewart's
me.
Here to do the concert.
Exactly. I mean, crazy. I've had people hand me pictures of somebody else.
Sign on me. People who signed this.
It's nice. Can you sign this for me? And I'm like, but what? Not me. Are you sure? Am I sure?
Oh, you might have realised. That is me.
Right. Exactly. Am I sure?
You know, talking of getting mixed up, the man on the checkout at Fairways is always mixing me and Geeta up. I mean, honestly, like we all look the same.
Insulting, really. You know, well, only last week someone asked me if I was freed up into.
No, that was me hallucinating on LinkedIn. That doesn't count. So, Bev, there you are, recording award-winning albums, and then, of course, won one of the most coveted roles in theatre.
Oh, yes. Fairy godmother in Cinderella at the Birmingham Hippodrome.
I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, yes, you were.
Oh, don't you start. Okay.
You've done so many West End musical roles. Do you have a favourite?
Well, I think for me, playing Felicia Farrell in the musical Memphis was just, it was an honour.
You know, we have a favourite musical of yours. Shall we give you a clue as to what it was?
Oh, yes,
ready?
Tell me.
I will always love this. Oh, God, how do you sing that 8 shows a week without coughing up a lung?
Sorry, Bev.
Was it daunting doing the role of Rachel that Whitney Houston made so famous?
Definitely, you know, a challenge. I knew those songs. I mean, I knew them. Everybody knows those songs.
Everybody knows them.
But it's one thing to know them and to sing them at home. It's quite another to stand in front of a West End audience and sing them night after night after night, and sometimes twice in one day.
Oh, well done. And now a question from your many fans in the Silver Bats out there in the audience.
Oh.
Maya, find someone who's still breathing.
We all wanted to thank you for doing that song for the NHS workers.
Oh, yes.
And also, my nephew is a doctor and he has a lovely voice. Can I send you his showreel? Well, it's a video of him singing Thriller at his son's birthday party.
I'm sorry about this, Bev.
It's okay. It happens a lot.
Yes, ignore the shameless networking, but do tell us about your labour of love, this wonderful NHS song that you did.
Oh, with pleasure. I was part of a group of beautiful human beings who virtually got together and recorded the song Lean On Me by the late, great Bill Withers So it was a joy for me to do
what
that.
What a wonderful thing to do. And the NHS is the jewel in the British crown, yes. And so many of us immigrants are polishing it, aren't we?
Yes, that is so true, which makes me think to myself, you know, there are a lot of people in this country who perhaps would prefer if people like us weren't here. But my thing is, well, if we weren't, you know, the NHS wouldn't shut down in a couple of weeks. It'd be hours. It'd be hours.
Yeah. Overnight.
Just gone. That'd be the end of that,
Oh, Beverly, darling, I hear you're married to a lovely Irish man, Jim.
Oh, lovely.
You did say you thought you'd marry Idris Elba, though.
Didn't we all?
Has James forgiven you for this? Because men can be very sensitive about these things.
I met James and something just clicked, you know? Oh. It just clicked. And the fact that his background was different from mine just didn't come into it, you know? Oh. Now we're the dynamic duo, I like to think of it, you know?
Oh, no, Bev, we've almost run out of time.
No.
And we haven't even talked about all your amazing charity work for Christian Aid and the Terence Higgins Trust. So one last thing, please.
Yes.
Could you just sing the I Will Always Love You chorus like it's supposed to be sung?
Of course. Are you ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Here we go. So... And I will always love you, I will always love you.
Just before we go, Bev, would you mind reading out from... this card?
No, no, don't you do that. I'll take that. Thank you. Sorry about that, darling. Ignore her.
Rupinder, sing the song.
No, don't you dare. No song. And that's final. Who's that at the back? Mr. Sidhu? Is that you taking our chairs?
I mean, no. Who is this Mr. Sidhu you speak of?
Code red, a man has entered the hall. Violation of female-only space. Me, get our guests to safety.
Oh, okay. Ladies, while you're running out, please a huge cheer for our incredible goddesses, Beverly Knight and Maggie Adair-Bocock. Well, despite everything, what a fantastic show.
Our guests seem to really enjoy themselves, especially during the riot at the end.
I know. Who knew Maggie was so good at hand-to-hand combat?
And Beverly's one-finger punch was so lovely, wasn't it?
Lovely.
I don't believe you two. You've been arguing all day and instigated an embarrassing public punch-up. What, now you're drinking chai together like your best friends?
Well, we are.
Absolutely.
We fight hard and love each other even harder. Old-style feminism, my darling girl. Water under the patriarchal bridge.
Well, okay. I suppose you did help eject a man from your protected female space.
And it's been a long time since I've had to do that.
It's been a long time since I've had to do that.
Your face, your big stupid face. Slap it. Go on, high five me, sis. Oh,
goddess, give me strength.
For that.
Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar was written by Meera Sayal. The music was by Sanjeev Bhaskar and Meera Sayal. Ami was played by Meera Sayal, Geeta by Harvey Virdi, and Maya by Umreen Razia. The producer was Liz Anstey, and it was a CPL production for BBC Radio 4.
Front Row at 7:15 examines whether the South Korean music industry has an exploitation problem. Now, on Monday, we'll be talking tech.
On BBC